Welcome to In My Shoes. I hope everyone is having a fantastic Tuesday and is anticipating the weekend ahead. This is the only inspirational podcast there is that features some real inspiring people. Today we are all going to be in central Trinidad in the heart of it, in Chagones. Today I sit with the executive director of the tertiary level educational institute I proudly attend, CTS College. Now let's hear from the man himself, Mr. Ravi Raghunath.
Wow, what a wonderful introduction there, Chess. I'm doing really well, and it's a pleasure being part of your program as well. Actually, I am inspired by your program, and I really enjoy the fact of what you're doing in terms of you getting people to inspire others as well. And I hope that today's message will be truly inspiring for many others as well. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
And thank you for doing my job for me. I didn't even have to ask him, how is he doing today? That's when you're a dedicated fan of the podcast. So, Mr. Raghunath, tell us how you grew up.
Well, I grew up from humble beginnings. I came from a relatively large family. There were 9 of us. My parents were both laborers, but the fact is that it was a large family in a very small house, but had lots of wonderful memories. And during my early stages as well, we had lots of fun playing on the road, playing cricket on the road. We didn't have lots of games like television, and all of those were kind of a distant distant memory. But the truth is that we spend more time interacting with the neighbors, having fun, etc. And I love my upbringing. In fact, I love where I live, which is on Ashraf Road in Charleville. And
that's in Chagones.
It's in Chagones.
Charleville, Chagones.
Correct. Charleville is just on the outskirts. It's a part of Chagones. Yes, it is. And I really loved it. We had a fantastic relationship with the neighbors, where you go in each other's house, you eat food, etc. We go and we watch TV by the neighbors. I truly loved it. On evenings, the guys will come out and play cricket on the road. It was pretty much a sport we played all year round. And we'll have lots of cricket competition as well. I was very fortunate too, because my brother turned out to be a national cricketer. He was the captain of the Trinidad and Tobago cricket team. He even played for West Indies. So out of that little game on the road, he got a national player.
What's your brother's name?
His name is Suraj Raghunath.
I'm sorry, I don't like cricket.
I'm sorry you don't like cricket as well, you know. But if you ever had the chance to see Brian Lara play, man, you're missing something, you know. It was a joy. It was, to me, share class to watch Brian Lara stroke that ball. He's an amazing player, and I love the fact that, you know, I was able to see him play cricket as well. And see many others as well, but Brian Lara is my personal favorite.
What about your brother? Why not him?
Oh, I love my brother and I love how he plays. The truth is he is fantastic, but Brian Lara is in a league of his own. I consider Brian Lara to be probably the world's greatest batsman ever. And so it's part of being the game, but trying to be objective as well.
Okay, tell us about your school life. Which secondary and tertiary education you had?
Sure. Well, I start with my primary school because the truth is that from there is where the whole idea of education birthed with me. And I started at Charleville Presbyterian School. And from Charleville Presbyterian School, I actually went to Shogunas Junior Sec. But it was the three best years of my secondary school life. I was not just a top student in class, but I just enjoyed every bit of that of school at the time. From Shogunas Junior Sec, after 3 years, I was very fortunate to have gotten selected to go to Presentation College. So I went to Presentation College, Shogunas, and I did Forms 4, 5, and Form 6 there. I did quite well in Form 5. I got 9 subjects. I got 6 ones, a grade A, and 2 grade 2s.
Congrats.
Thanks a lot, you know. But I had a lot of support as well from my family. And then from there, I moved on to A-levels. And after A-levels, I couldn't afford to go to university at the time, so I started working. I was very fortunate to have gotten a job as a teacher. And that is where, you know, my trust into the educational field as an educator started. However, after my first year in teaching, I would have saved up enough money and I was able to afford to go to UWE. And I went to UWE to pursue my bachelor's degree. I did a double major in mathematics and computer science. Mathematics really being my first love. And of course,
really?
Yeah, it was.
I think mathematics is the devil.
Well, I was the best student in mathematics in my class, so I've always liked mathematics, particularly in Form 4 and 5, you know, and even in A-levels, but at UWE I enjoyed it tremendously as well.
What inspired you to become
educator?
Yes.
Well, after A-levels, I was fortunate to get a job, and the job coincidentally was a teaching position. The Ministry of Education had vacancies for teachers, and I applied, and they placed me at Shogunas Junior Sec. This was in January 1990. I was just 18 years old when I started teaching, actually. I was teaching Forms 1 to 3, but I truly enjoyed it. What I loved about teaching was in terms of two parts. There's one in terms of educating people, but more so in terms of the relationships and how you were impacting lives as well. And I found that, look, I felt it was my calling because I enjoyed it so much, and I saw myself making a huge difference as well. And after teaching at Shogunas Junior Sec, well, I was moved a few times. In fact, 4 different times I was moved in different secondary schools. So I moved to Samoa Senior Camp. I went to El Dorado Junior Sec at the time. It was the one of 2 full-time junior secondary schools at the time. It was an amazing experience there as well, which I truly enjoyed. And then I went to Marabella Junior Sec, which was the last school I would have taught at. And then I had to leave the teaching profession to study full-time at UWE because I was now in year 2 at the university and my grades mattered, and therefore I would have saved up enough as well. So I started full-time at UWE at that point.
What is your some memorable experiences you've had? Keep it to 1 minute.
Certainly. There are numerous memorable occasions, but I think at seeing my students move on and make changes in terms of their career and all of those, really what inspire me. But there are different things, so it's at different levels. Some inspiration could be very tiny things, and some could be major stuff. But one of the biggest ones, really, seeing my student go on to win a world prize, and that truly was a wonderful experience. Seeing them being the top student in the world in quantitative methods was a wonderful experience.
And me out of time for this segment. Let's take some messages, and when we get back, Mr. Raghunath will tell us about his career. Now, this is In My Shoes.
This podcast is brought to you by the amazing people at Anchor. Anchor is a free app where you can not only listen to your favorite podcasters, but you can become one yourself. Anchor will also distribute your podcast among all other platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn. Download the Anchor app today.
Welcome back to In My Shoes. Me sit here with Mr. Ravi Raghunath, the Executive Director of CTS College, located in Shagunas. Ravi, tell us what inspired you to become a director, or somewhat a principal?
It's a bit happenstance, if you want to call it that, actually, and it wasn't deliberate. After graduating, and after years of working as well, a few years of working, our group of friends from UWE continued to keep close contact, and one of the dream of one of the a couple of the team members were to form a company, and therefore we decided, and the idea was thrown out to everyone, so we formed this company called Complete Technology Solutions. Initially there was about 8 to 10 of us, and when it came time to actually start putting in funds to pay for rent and for building space, all of that, it was just two of us, myself and my business partner, then Nigel Polo. And what we were doing is that we started a consultancy company called Complete Technology Solutions. But my background was in education. So because my background was in education, I decided, you know, we'll start some classes. So we started some literacy classes. And then eventually from those, the school started as well.
Yeah.
And that is how I became a principal. It wasn't really by choice that I really wanted to do this, but it was simply, you know, a group of friends starting a business, and we all agreed, okay, let's start it. And then eventually the school became an offshoot of the business that eventually became the main idea of the business later on.
Okay, so I'm guessing you had no mentors.
There were many people in my life who would have encouraged and inspired me. Some that I know personally, and some from reading about, some from hearing about, etc. So, and they would have inspired in different areas.
Okay, tell us about some.
At home, it would probably be my brothers. My eldest brother, Carlos, was one of my key inspirational figures. His, throughout our, my childhood and growing up, his work, his actions have always been, you know, something that was to me. He always went beyond and above and beyond the call. So, for example, while growing up, apart from my parents working, he looked after us. From primary school, he would take me up to his class. He would pull our money together. We'd buy a soft drink and share a soft drink. But those are just the simple things he did at the start. But even afterwards, he would. We grew up, as I said, from a humble home, but he was the first person to take us to a restaurant. Most of my first times doing stuff, it was because of him. The first time I drove a car was because of him. The first time I owned a watch, the first time I did this or that was because of him.
Yeah.
He basically was the father figure in our house. He also was well educated. He had passed for Presentation College at the time, and growing up in Charleville, very rare would you see someone back then going to Presentation College, and that was a big thing for us. It was a huge celebration. And he was the first person, I believe, from, you know, from the family, entire family of cousins, yes, and all of that, to have gone to Presentation College. So
wow,
it was a huge accomplishment. He also got a scholarship when he, at that time, from Common Entrance, he would have gotten a scholarship back then. And even afterwards, he started working after writing his O-levels, and he looked after the house. He brought so much changes to us, and he's, to me, he's my greatest inspirational figure, and my mom as well, and I'll explain why. My mom sacrificed so much for us. She was a laborer. She worked really hard to look after 9 kids. And though the reality is that everything she did was about her kids, she showed us about sacrifice. She taught us about sharing and looking after each other and loving each other as well. And her sacrifices have actually, you know, has helped us and motivated us as well to work really hard. And I think that my biggest motivation for my studies really came from her and my brother, because of how hard she have worked to look after us. And his success as well has inspired me to work hard and to be successful and to be like him and follow in his footsteps also. So they were my early motivators. But later on, after I would have experienced other persons as well, like I would have met different principals who I really enjoyed the way they looked after their students, and I would have learned from them and the other educators also, and even great leaders like Mahatma Gandhi, like Martin Luther King, etc. I've been inspired by their leadership also.
Yeah. So is it safe to say you're enjoying your directorship at CTS College?
Well, I love my role, and the role, I don't see it as more of the director, but what I love is the interaction with the students and the relationship that we have. To me, the relationships are the greatest joy of what I do, and because I'm very involved in my students' life. So therefore, even now, I still work with my students closely. I still teach classes, because the greatest joy of my job was really the interaction with the students. It wasn't about coming up with policies and creating great sort of marketing tools and all of those, right? It was really about the relationship with the students. And to me, as I said, this is my ministry. I believe this is where God wants me to be. And because of that, I value those relationships with the students. In fact, the staff at CTS have all been a student at one point or another. And because of those relationships with them, I really valued it. And hence the reason why many of them are working with the organization as well.
Yes. You said something to push something in that regard. Tell us the vision of or for CTS College.
The vision of the college has certainly changed over time. However,
okay,
for me, what I really want CTS to be, what it doesn't need to be, I'm not looking for the biggest school in the country. I'm not looking to have the greatest structure necessarily. But I want students, when they come to CTS, to have an experience that's truly different. To me, what the vision of CTS is about, changing lives and developing leaders who would go out, who are not just dependent on others for a living, but who are willing to take the risk and start their own business as well. I want CTS to touch people's life in a way that God has touched mine and used people to touch my life as well. I want CTS College to make education appear reachable and understandable to many. Many students believe that you need to have a certain level of capacity to be able to take in information. Like, for example, oh, education is not for me. I've heard that said many times. And I want CTS to be a school that opens people's mind. And I need teachers as well to be able to do that. Teachers who are compassionate about their students, teachers who share compassion for their students, teachers who are willing to try different methods as well to be able to get students to understand. It's about bringing all the different tools for success to the students, rather than spend time harping on what the student does or doesn't do. I want us to see, look at what we can do to bring about that change. So that's the kind of school I want CTS to be. So when a student comes to CTS, whether it's via online classes or face-to-face classes, I want it to be an experience that they'll remember, but a positive one. So I want that where they are touched by the teachers reaching out to them, be going beyond the call, where the admin staff, the academic staff, and everyone at the college, you know, generally shares in that vision of creating a culture of success for the students and helping the student to be the best that they can be. And that is truly what we want. We want students to be. It's not just about having a certificate or an education, because to me, being your best goes way beyond a certificate. But being your best is where we are basically the salt of the earth, where we touch lives through our own family, where we are agents of change in our own family, in our own community, and our nations at large. So really, it's not about having a bachelor's degree, but it's about the kind of life we live, the kind of people we become, right? The way we interact with others as well, right? That's the difference I'm trying to make. So I'm trying to create a better citizen altogether, and that is really the vision of CTS College.
Okay, you said you're trying to create a better citizen of Trinidad and Tobago. So let's take you and put you right over here in the situation where you have to deal with a troublesome student. How would you handle that?
I often believe that a troublesome student often has issues that grow deeper than what we see on the surface. And often it is manifested maybe in how they interact with the teachers or the office staff, etc. Often I've found when someone gets angry over something small, it's often other things that are happening behind the scene that are triggering these things here. So really, we try to deal with the situation, to appease the situation, but we also try to dig deeper as well. I truly believe that, look, we've never had a student to say where we've had troublesome students indeed, and there are times when maybe our policies or things we did may have created the issue. Of course, there are times where you have students who are not tolerant of things as well. And maybe there are times when we may be intolerant as well of certain things.
Understood.
But truly, I've found that even in those situations, there's learning for us as well in terms of how we can deal with situations. So therefore, I truly never see a student as being the difficult student. I've often found that interacting with students, we may recognize we may have different value system, right? And but we could come to some common ground of agreeing, etc. But at all times, you know, generally the school has rules to follow as well. And if it is a rule being broken, then we'll have to work within the rules as well. So.
And we just had to pause the recording a bit because Mr. Wagner's students value him so much that one just came by just to say hi
and bring a gift.
So now tell us what motivates you to cover that already. Tell us some of the events at CTS College. I did some research and found out there's a karaoke Even sometimes, what are some other events?
Prior to COVID, we had a very active social events committee, and the social events committee is really about creating the student experience. And they would host a lot of events throughout the year. The typical and the most popular event is hikes. So they did probably about 4 to 6 hikes per year, right? And they'd go to different locations. So,
really?
Yep. So hiking was a big part of the events carded. But apart from that, they also did beach cleanups. They went turtle watching. They also did like charity work, like helping with homes and stuff like that, right? Like kids' home, etc. So those are some of the events we do, because again, we're trying to create students who are more corporate citizens, who are giving and sharing. But apart from that, what we also do, we have games night. So where we have the games night, we have like a karaoke competition, then we have other like minute to win it events, etc. So we have some of those. Then apart from that, we have our big sports day. So every year we have our sports day, which is a lot of like telematch type events, which is fun events. So you don't need to have any particular skill, you don't need to be athletic, you just it's just about coming out and having fun.
Yeah.
So we have that with lots of food and prizes, etc. So we have those. Then we have other events that are centered more, if you want to call it, academically minded. Like we have debate competitions that we take part in. We took part in a coding event as well for our students. So those are some of the different events that we do. Then we also have other events as well that are said more academic related, that maybe in terms of helping students with academic writing, resume writing, and things like those, career fairs, etc.
Yeah.
So those are some of the typical events.
And ironically, I got this T-shirt from a study seminar when I used to go to uni.
Fantastic. It's a nice T-shirt.
Thanks. Tell us, can the public get involved in these events? And if yes, how does one involve oneself?
Certainly. The events were originally catered for students, but certainly we can have anyone join in as well. So these events are often advertised on our Facebook page, and once you join us on our Facebook page and you like the page, etc., and you follow, you'd be able to get details of the events. And and that's pretty much where the social events committee has a Facebook page that one can join, and you can get all the details of the events. However, because of COVID, the number of events have been drastically reduced, and they're more online events. So for example, one of the more recent online events we had was like a career fair, where we had different persons from different career fields, prominent persons within their careers, talking and sharing with students about the career, what type of programs you may want to do to become, if you want to become a journalist, if you want to become a social media marketer, etc. So we had persons in different professions sharing with students about the profession and about how you can, you know, join the profession. So that was the most recent one we did online.
Okay, and tell us, where on Facebook could we find you? And Instagram, Tuesday pictures, they have my mother busting her brain, cause I'm always like, Alice, you know this building.
You know, you can find us on Facebook. Just search for CTS College. If you search for Ravi Raghunath as well, you'd find me on Facebook. And if you search for CTS College, you'll find CTS College on the different social media sites as well. Right? Also on our website, there's the social media icons. And if you click on it, it takes you to our page directly from our website. So all you have to do is go to our website, ctscollege.com. And on our website, at the top of the website, there's the social media icon for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. Just click on it and you'd be able to get us there.
Okay, that's great, Manuav. Mr. Wagunat, sorry.
Ravi is fine.
Alright, thanks. Well, this segment kinda double up, but when we come back, we'll find out how to become a student of this prestigious institution. And a little more. This is in my shoes. We'll be back.
Do you need a bit of inspiration? Well, you've come to the right place. Because you see, In My Shoes is a place where we discuss the goals, accomplishments, and struggles faced by ordinary people just like you. So let's take a walk together.
This is the only inspirational podcast. Yeah, is in my shoes today. We sat here with Mr. Wagunath for the last segment. Ravi, tell us about your retirement plan.
I haven't looked that far ahead. But I love traveling, and I have a family as well, and we like going places. So I believe my retirement plan will be centered around doing some of those fun things. But I never see myself out of the educational realm or working with students, right? And probably I'll be doing more community work as well when I retire, because right now I don't get as much opportunity to do so. So most of my work is related through the school directly, but I guess afterwards I'll probably be more community type work as well, helping families and maybe donating more time to develop community through education as well.
How does one get started with CTS College if you have, let's say, no passes?
You don't need any passes to come to CTS College. There are no prerequisites. You can start. There are many different starting points. And the question is really about choosing the appropriate starting point based on your work experience, based on your educational background, etc., or based on your needs, what are your career paths, etc., and we can find something for you to do at CTS College, or even recommend some other options as well for you, because sometimes the truth is we may not always have what the person wants, but we can direct them to another institution that does.
Yes.
So to find out more about CTS College, one can simply call us on 671-2551.
That number again.
671-2551. And if you're outside of Trinidad, just remember to add 868 in front of the number. So that's 868-671-2551. You could check our website, ctscollege.com. That's ctscollege.com. Or you could email us on study@ctscollege.com. That's study@ctscollege.com. Apart from that, you could come and visit us. We are 120 Montrose Main Road in Chaguanas in Trinidad, so you can visit us at the college as well. And there's so many ways to reach out to us.
How? sound.
You don't have to apologize for laughing. Laughing should never be something you should have to apologize for.
No, it's a damn.
To the audience, I'm sure the audience enjoy hearing you laugh, Chester. Right? When someone laughs, it brings out a joy in them as well. You know, it brings out a wonderful feeling. So it's good to laugh.
How has COVID affected the operations of CTS College?
In March, when the government declared that all institutions of learning need to be closed, we transitioned quickly to online classes. However, shortly after, when the nation went on lockdown, quite a few people lost jobs, and it was a bit difficult in the very first couple months. And that's because what happens is that the office was closed. We had to transform our whole business operation from being at the school to now operate remotely. And although we had experience with some of the staff working remotely, not all the staff were able to work remotely. So we had to switch phones, etc., so that all calls would be forwarded, our emails, everyone was now checking on emails more regularly, etc. But we had to change processes for students to pay online, register online, etc. But what we did see, we saw a decline in the student numbers in the very first few months because people lost jobs, there were uncertainty in jobs, etc. However, as the lockdown continued, we found that people started becoming bored being at home. They needed something else to do. And we eventually saw an uptick in the number of students enrolling in our programs, in particular our short courses. Now, fast track from March all the way now to December.
Okay.
What we can say is...
No.
Oh.
This episode is coming out in February, although we're recording in December.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, well, several months after the lockdown, what we have seen is a marked increase in enrollment. And in fact, from a business perspective, the fact that there's COVID, we have seen a positive overall impact. In fact, we're seeing better numbers than we did prior to COVID. However, at the same time, we're concerned though in terms of the continuation of COVID and how it's impacting the nation as a whole. So while we're very grateful because we have targeted the market very quickly, we've been very much active in terms of our advertising, etc., and coming up with courses, moving all our courses online, at the same time we're concerned overall as a nation in terms of how it's impacting the overall economy. But as how COVID has impacted us, it has been positive overall.
Would you rather the early morning hectic routine or this, as in, would you rather getting up out your bed, going to have a cold shower, then beating traffic to get to this building to deal with some very interesting individuals, or would you rather be at home and you could just get off your bed and be in school? You don't even have to be there.
Well, you almost made it into a rhetorical question. And the truth is, I love the convenience of just rolling off the bed and going straight to my laptop and starting my work or working, taking my calls and messages, etc., which is what I've been doing for years. However, I would admit that I miss the face-to-face interaction with my students. I love getting to know my students. So while I love the conveniences that the online classes offer, at the same time, I truly miss my students. I pretty much know all my students by face and by name as much as I could, especially in the programs that I've taught in.
Yes.
However, I really miss the interaction and the conversation pieces that I would normally have with my students. In the online class, there isn't as much of it as I would like. So I really miss that part, but I love the convenience that the online class has and what it does too, because my son is also home doing his classes online. I get to spend a lot more time with him and my family as well. So there are many positives to me in my personal life regarding COVID. But I truly miss my students, and I miss getting to know them, getting that face-to-face. So now I guess I have to learn to meet more people virtually as opposed to face-to-face now. You know, so it's just dealing with the changes.
An improvement in your students' performances since they aren't coming in, since they aren't as stressed.
In terms of the results, we've seen results. We've always had good results, first of all, and the in COVID we've seen the results being pretty much similar. I cannot say that there's a marked increase of one versus the other, simply because we generally had high performances before. So when we had pass rates in the 90s, and even if it's in the 90s as well, still, you know, so it's not a marked difference. So to be quite honest, I cannot say that there's a marked difference in performance of one versus the other. However, my challenge with the online class is that it's about the engagement of the students. But even in a face-to-face class, we face with the same issue. And I found often with the younger students, we are now more challenged to keep them engaged in the class. But that's good, because we have to find, as teachers, we need to be creative, we need to be out-of-the-box thinker. Because when we go to that classroom, we have to own that domain. We have to get students to be part of it, and we have to be creative to keep them engaged and involved as well. So we have to change what we do and how we do it, come out of our comfort zone, because it's about them. And if the class is not interesting enough for them, then we probably need to relook at and rethink the approach that we're using as well. But overall, the results have been very good before and after, both pre-COVID and post-COVID. Results have been remarkably well, and we haven't seen a drastic change in pass rates or a dip in pass rates either. So therefore, I would say that it hasn't proven to be very different for us. Where the difference is in terms of numbers, because now, if you're from Tobago, if you're from Cedros, if you're from Mayaro, etc., you can attend CTS pretty much as the same if someone was living in Chaguanas as well, because you don't have the cost of travel, you don't have to pay for accommodation or any of those if you're traveling from far. The long journeys, etc., has been totally cut off, and now you can access CTS College regardless of where you are in the world. If a student has to travel to another country because of work, or if a student is stranded in another country and unable to come home, they could sign up and access their classes just as they were if they were here as well, because the online classes give you access equally regardless of where you are in the world. So there are many benefits now of the online classes. But we haven't seen a real change in pass rates and performance, because performance has always been good, and it continues to be good in COVID as well.
Okay, do you have any last words for our audience tonight?
Certainly. I would encourage everyone to really invest in themselves, and investing in yourselves are many different things you can do. One way to invest in yourself is through studies and through improving your performance, your academic qualification, etc. But studies is not always about academics. So for example, I'm encouraging people to learn a new skill. We have a range of do-it-yourself courses where you could learn, for example, how to improve the look of your home through your do-it-yourself interior decorating course. You can service your own air conditioning units at home, or simple electronics as well. We have courses for all of those as well. Apart from that, you could learn different skills. So for example, you could develop skills in social media management. You can develop skills in writing for social media, or supervisory skills. There are many different areas, even in IT as well, develop various skills, or you could even consider an academic qualification such as a bachelor's degree, a master's degree. There are so many different areas that you can access as well, not just at CTS but at many different schools also. So I want to encourage people to invest in themselves. Invest in yourself in that, to become a better corporate citizen, to become more socially responsible as well, to make a difference in the life of others, to evaluate how we talk, how we interact with others, how we treat each other as well, and to really try to be a positive change in our community, in our homes, our communities, in our nation. We really need this. At the end, we want Trinidad to be the best country that it can be, and that requires a change from each and every one of us. So whether you're formally educating yourself or you're simply educating yourself in terms of how to control and temper your own behavior and to control your own prejudices as well, you know, but the fact is that take steps in those areas as well. So I pray as well that God will continue to bless our country and our nation and our people in every aspect of their lives. And I want to say a big thank you, Chess, because the truth is that, you know, I believe God continues to use people in my life to help me to break some of my own perception about how I perceive people. And honestly, I am so proud to see what you're doing as well. And you have not allowed the physical limitations to stop you from doing and fulfilling your own dream and your own career path. And I really thank God for sending people like you into my life, where I'm able to break some of those perceptions that I have had as well. So thank you very much for allowing me in your show. Thank you very much as well for having this show and for bringing people into your program to help to change the lives of others in our country as well. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I can see. And thank you as well from the end. Yeah. This has been in my shoes. The podcast. To inspire, encourage, and enlighten. Remember to keep smiling, keep your shoes on, and keep walking. Good night, everybody.